You're not finished, are you?
That's all I've got today.
Oh, about time you're getting good. He quits. Now the preacher's going to get up here and hold you to 1:30, right? Thank you, Robert. And you know, you girls out there, he's free. He is free. But I don't know for how long. With looks like that, talent like that. You know, if somebody like me could get caught, he's going to surely get caught. Sound like I'm in a barrel up here, guys. I don't know about you. Oh, I guess it's just coming back from me through here. Yeah, that's fine. One thing, by your pew, those of you who are sitting next to the aisle, you will find this sheet. Be sure and fill it out. If you haven't filled one out, fill it out, pass it on down, and the person at the end of the pew near the wall, when you get it, if you've already filled it out, okay. If you haven't, fill it out and just leave it on the seat, if you will.
From the burning bush, O Lord, you charged me to bring the people to this holy mountain to behold your glory and receive your law. What have I left undone?
That's what we're looking at this morning. You know, we've been looking at how blessed we are. We've been trying to help you to remember who you are. And as children of God, as children of His family, you know, there's some things He wants us to do. There are some ways that He wants us to conduct our lives. And we've been looking at that in these Ten Commandments. And this morning we come to Exodus chapter 20 and verse 7, where the finger of God wrote and where the voice of God said in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 7, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain." And the subject this morning is, I know what I wanted to put up there, but I didn't put it up there. God's last name is not blank. But my wife said, I better not do that. So I changed the title to it, God's name is not a swear word. You know, all of us, we enjoy hearing our name, don't we? Now, come on. You do. When somebody says your name, you love to hear your name called. Everybody loves the sound of their name and the way people speak their name. You know, if somebody speaks your name in a harsh way, it kind of hurts you. But if they speak your name in a loving kind of way, oh, I tell you, it will change your life. I know it did mine. 54 years ago, sitting in my black 57 Chevy at the drive-in theater in Siler City, North Carolina, me and this lady right over here, we were watching a movie, and we were eating our popcorn. And of course, you know, guys, it had a bench seat, those 57 Chevys did. She was sitting right over against the door. And I kind of wanted to get over there. But how's a cool way to get over there? You know, guys, you got to be cool in some of these things. So I said, well, it's hard to eat this popcorn with this steering wheel in the way. I'm just going to slip over a little bit. So I slipped over a little bit and kept inching over a little bit. Now, this is 54 years ago. Not that long. Was it that long? What was it? messed up my whole story. Anyway, it might have been in Papa's old Dodge. I don't know. I think it was in Pa's old Dodge. Anyway, you know, I was over there eating popcorn. You know, I got to figure out something. So I kind of, put my arm on the back of the seat. You know, and took a little bit of my Coca-Cola and kind of let it drop my hand down on her shoulder. You know how it is, guys. You got to be cool. And then, in an impulse, I just wrapped my arm around just as tight as I could around her, pulled it over there toward me, and she looked me in the face and said my name. And the way she said my name, I knew I was a goner. I knew I was hooked. And it was love from then on. So you see, the way people says your name has a lot to do with how you feel. And the third commandment deals with God's name. And God's name's getting a lot of abuse today. We are surrounded by profanity. Do you know that? I don't have to tell you that. Just turn on your television. Did you know that in a year's time, and this comes from back in 1998, is the only figures I could get. In 1998, on primetime TV, there were 8,333 acts of violence, 14,313 incidents of sex, and 23,566 words of profanity. That was in 1998. And I'll say today, in 2011, it's probably doubled. Because, you know, they wouldn't let them even get on TV and take God's name in vain or say words of profanity. But now they let them get on there and they bleep it out. And you know what they're saying. And it's not going to be a few years down the road till they won't be bleeping it out at all. People will be saying that. I can remember when I was growing up, you know, we'd hang out down at the store at High Falls. And, you know, all the men sitting around the stove eating crackers and sardines and drinking Pepsis and Cokes and RC Colas and telling all of their bawdy stories and using all of the language that they could use that wasn't right. When a woman walked in or where anybody else walked in or a preacher walked in, they shut it up. But nowadays, it doesn't matter. And I tell you, sometimes you ladies are just as bad as men. You know, sometimes I get embarrassed standing in the checkout line at Walmart sometimes. We are surrounded in our world with gutter talk. But this command, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, is directed to every one of us. Because I've been around some Christians. Or they say they go to church. They say they're deacons in the church. They say they pray and they read their Bible, but some of their language is not the kind of language that I think makes the Lord feel good. And that commandment is directed to every one of us. Thou, are you, you, me, and you, shall not. That's a commandment. Shall not is a command from the very finger of God. Shall not take the Lord's name in vain. You say, preacher, I don't do that. I don't use profanity. Well, what does that word vain mean? He's just not talking about those gutter words here. He's talking about when we take God's name in vain, that word vain means empty. Empty. Of no use. No value. That's what the Hebrew word vain means, empty. It means you ascribe that God's name doesn't mean anything, no value to it, it's empty, it doesn't carry anything. Well, when we go around and say, oh my God, you know you do it. Oh my gosh, dadgummit, pretty close to it. Lord Jesus, oh sweet Jesus, don't let that happen. Gosh darn it. You're using it in a vain way. You're using God's name, and yet you're using it in an empty way. You're not using profanity, but you are making God's name empty and of no value. Because just like when she looked at me and she said my name, and I knew she loved me, and I just loved her, I felt good. And it's been 54 years we've been married, going on 55, and I still love her. Because I told her then, and I told her after that, if I ever don't love you, I'll tell you. You hadn't told me you loved me lately. Well, I told you then, and if I change my mind, I'll tell you. But when we use God's name in an empty way, when we just throw God's precious name around like it doesn't mean anything, it breaks God's heart. It breaks His heart. God has feelings. God is not some kind of stone something. God is alive. And it hurts. It breaks His heart when we use His name in an empty way. And not only that, it's a transgression. Notice verse 7, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. And what that word guiltless means in the Hebrew, let me just give you the King Kidd translation. He's not going to let you get by with it. He's not going to hold you unpardonable. You got to get forgiveness for it. You know, it's what's in the heart that comes out. Vance Havner, a preacher of a decade or so ago, said, what's down in the well comes up in the bucket. You know, if any of you knows about a well, when you drop the bucket down in it and wring up the water like we used to do, what comes up in the bucket's what's down in the well. What comes up in our mouth. You see, every one of us here's got something that we all have. We've got a face with a hole in it. And in that face and in that hole is a little organ called a tongue. And it can sure get us in trouble. We can use it to bless people, make people feel good. We can use it to curse people and make people feel bad. And it seems like in this world we live in today, we use our tongue mostly to make people feel bad, make God feel bad. But we're going to have to give an account of that, because God's name is important. You know, when we say somebody's name, immediately you get either good vibes or bad vibes. When you mention mother, most of us get good vibes, don't we? When you say father, we conjure up pictures of dad. When we say grandpa or grandma or brother, sister, husband, and wife, it brings up love. We cherish and love these names. By the same token, we come to love and to cherish God by how we use His name. You know, God has a lot of names in the Bible. In the Old Testament, He has a whole bunch of names. If I can find where I've got them written down here. He has many names. In Genesis, He's called Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord will provide. Abraham found this out, that wherever he went, God was there to look after him and care for him. In the book of Exodus, He's called Jehovah Nissi, which means the Lord is my banner. The Lord's banner was over Israel. They knew that He was there for them, that He loved them. Do we know that today? When we go around, do we know that God's love, God's banner of love, God's banner of protection, God's banner of grace is over us? That it's with us wherever we go? Also, in Exodus, or in Judges chapter 6, Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is peace, or the Lord is my peace. In Ezekiel 48:35, Jehovah Shema, the Lord is there. Aren't you glad to know that God is there? He's not gone off somewhere and left you. Sometimes we feel like it, but God's right where we walked off and left Him. But God is all of these things. He'll provide. He's our banner of love over us. He's our peace. He's there for us. 1 Samuel 1:3, He is Jehovah Heshaboth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The Lord of hosts. That word host in Hebrews means the Lord of the armies. You're surrounded by the Lord of hosts. You're surrounded by God's army. He's the commander of it. And then in Psalm 23 and verse 1, Jehovah Roi, the Lord is my shepherd. He's the one that leads me to green pastures and leadeth me beside the still waters. You say, what's that mean to me today? You know what the green pastures are today? The green pastures today are God's Word. You want to lie down in green pastures. You know, when you lie down in green pastures, the psalmist was talking about a place of comfort, a place of peace, a place where you could be fed, a place of comfort. Well, if you want to find all of that, you find it right here in God's Word. The reason we don't have peace, the reason we don't have comfort, the reason we are so filled with anxiety, the reason we're so perplexed today is we don't take time to lie down in green pastures and let the Word of God comfort us and fill us. Still waters represent the Holy Spirit today in the New Testament age. The Holy Spirit who fills us and empowers us, greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. Praise God. Why are we so down and out as Christians? Why are we taking God's wonderful name in vain? Why are we saying, when we use His name as we shouldn't, we're saying there's nothing there. It's just empty. Well, He is there. The one that will provide. The banner of grace over us. The peace that the world cannot give us. He's there to watch over you and care for you. His army surrounds you to keep you. He is the shepherd that will fill you and supply you with comfort and peace and the power of the Holy Spirit. But that's not the only name. The New Testament name of God is a wonderful name. It's called Pater in the Latin. Pater. Father. It's the name that Jesus used all the time for God. He taught us to pray, our Father, our Pater, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. God's name is a hallowed name. God's name is a sacred name. God's name is a precious name. Let's read over in Philippians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Philippians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. You got it up there because I can't find it. Here I've got, no, I don't. I don't have it with me this morning. Have you got it? Okay. And being found in fashion as a man, he, Jesus Christ, humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also highly exalted him and gave him a name which is above every name. God gave him a name. Jesus' name, God's name, is above every name. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15. By Him, that is by Jesus Christ, therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. What is the fruit of your lips? Is the fruit of your lips a name that causes God's name to be empty? Or is the fruit of your lips a name that lifts up Jesus Christ? As I said, the greatest name in the Bible is that name, Pater. It's an intimate name. An intimate name. Father. And I hope every one of you here had good fathers. When I mean good fathers, they might not have been Christian fathers. But at least they loved you. And you could find a place of protection with them. That's what that name means. It's a name of fellowship. Just like the little baby, the little child, and maybe you can remember. When you were growing up, when things didn't go right, maybe when you were hurting or you were bullied at school, you could run home and you could crawl up in Daddy's lap and he'd wrap his arms around you. That's what the name of God means. Father. When we hurt, when people misuse us, when people misjudge us, when people talk about us, there's somewhere you can go. Somewhere you can find fellowship. Somewhere you can find comfort. And it's in the lap and the arms of God the Father. It means we also have access to Him. We don't have to wait till Sunday morning to have access to God. We don't have to wait till Wednesday night to have access to God. We don't have to wait till the preacher's in the house or the Sunday school teacher's in the house or somebody says, now, let's gather together and talk to our Heavenly Father. We have access to Him anytime. Anytime we're hurting, anytime we're down and out, anytime we feel bad, we can crawl up into God's lap through prayer. We have access to Him. It matters not where you are. And the best thing about it is He knows our need. Before we ever tell Him in Romans chapter 8 and verse 15, it says, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we can cry, Abba, Father. Abba, Aramaic word, which means every little child in Jesus' day, they crawl up in the Father's lap, look Him in the face, Dada, Dada. That's what we got, friends. That's what God is. His name's not a swear word. His last name is not blank. His name is not empty. He's a God that's there for us. A God who has His arms open wide to us. A God who has His ear attuned to our every need. Why should we use His name in an empty way when He has so much for us? So let's watch our speech. I heard a missionary tell this when I went to a pastor's conference. And I know it's true because he told it. And I don't think he would be lying about it. He was over in India. And he went to this shrine. And there was a young Indian boy kneeling before this stone statue. This stone idol. And the missionary said, as I watched, that boy took his tongue in his hand and took a knife and cut his tongue out and laid it at the foot of that stone altar. And in a few minutes, he died in a pool of his own blood. He cut his own tongue out to keep from saying something bad about a stone idol. Well, God doesn't want us to cut our tongues out today. But He does want us to consecrate and dedicate our tongue, our mouth, and our words to Him so that we will always be giving Him not empty words, not vain words, but words of worship, words of adoration, words of glorification. That's what He means when He says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. I will not hold you guiltless. I'm going to hold you guilty until you ask forgiveness. So how are we using our tongues as Christians? You know, if you go to work and you tell people, I go to church, I'm a Christian, I love Jesus Christ, I believe in God, then what are your words saying? That's one of the reasons the world out here cares nothing for church anymore. They don't care anything for God anymore. They don't care anything for the Bible anymore. And it's not the world's fault. It's my fault. And it's your fault as people who says, I love Jesus. But yet, before the world, we deny it by using His name in vain. How are you using your tongue? God's name's not a swear word. How are you using it? May we stand. Bow our heads in prayer, please, our Father. You've done so much for us. You loved us before there was ever a world, Lord. I believe it. And you made provision for us that we could be part of your family. You could become our Heavenly Father, and we could become your children. And Lord, I don't think there's a one of us sitting in this place this morning that would look our earthly fathers or mothers in the face and call their name in a vain way. And Lord, we don't and should not do that to our Heavenly Father. So help us be an example, a shining example, by letting people know that the God we serve is real. He's not just an empty word. So help us, Lord. Put a guard on our mouth. I know it's everywhere, Lord. Everywhere we go, we can't go anywhere. Somebody's using your name in a vain way. Help us to stand upright and stand up tall and be proud and not get involved in that kind of language. Because we belong to you, you belong to us. We're your children. Help us to give honor to you by the way that we use your name. For it's in your wonderful, precious name that we pray. Amen. Let's just sing a verse.